The Culture Proof Podcast thanks BJU Press Homeschool, our premier sponsor. We are super excited about biblical worldview woven into every subject that we teach. We are also excited about the BJU Press Homeschool secret sauce. I'm talking about the homeschool consultants who are spread all across the country, who once you purchase your curriculum, don't leave you to figure it out by yourself. They are there for you and with you on your homeschooling journey. I cannot recommend more highly BJU Press Homeschool, that comes equipped with homeschooling consultants who are praying for you, who are walking alongside you as you disciple and train your kids and ready them to live in a culture that is hostile to truth. Visit our friends today at BJUPressHomeschool.com. That's BJUPressHomeschool.com. Tell them that the Addison sent you. Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki, and this is part two of my coffee talk with Dorinda Wilson. We are discussing her book, Raising Boys to Be Men. And I'm excited about this episode because we're going to kind of show our laundry. We're going to reveal our dirty laundry. The socks on the floor. Can we say the undies? The undies that they just can't find a way to get into the hamper. I don't know why that happens. But anyway, we're going to be talking about that. Dorinda Wilson is the host of the Dorinda Wilson Podcast. She's also the author of The Unhurried Homeschooler and The 4-Hour School Day, which, by the way, I interviewed you last year. I don't know if you remember this. We were at HEAV, I think. Yep. And you talked about the 4-Hour homeschool day, and that was liberating for me. Like, I just have to tell you, we don't come from a homeschooling background. We are first generation homeschoolers, and we didn't do that because we had some sort of connection to homeschooling or we were told that it was good to do. We did that because we wanted to disciple our kids, and we saw the culture competing with that. So we thought, no, we're not going to compete with the culture to disciple our kids. So when I learned that, you know, you don't have to just recreate school at home, that was liberating. And then when I learned that that also means that you don't have to school all day, it's like, oh my gosh, Lord. Yeah. Okay, thank you. And here you are in this book again, reaffirming that boys need to go outside. That is not a waste of their educational time. They need to go outside.
It's part of their education.
Well, let's just start there for a second, because you touched on that in the previous episode. But now from that perspective, going outside, especially as it pertains to our boys, that's part of their education. Unpack that a little bit for us.
Well, they need lots of physical activity, for one thing. And they also need to test physical limitations. That is a very important part of their development. And this is where this whole cultural idea of helicopter parenting is absolutely detrimental to our boys, because they need to do dangerous things, right? And I'm not saying they run wild, they do everything, you let them kill themselves. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm sorry, moms, we don't get it. Like, we don't understand why they have to do these things, but they do. And I think that's another thing that I really try to emphasize. Like, it's not important that we can relate to it as moms. It's important that we understand that this is how they're wired and we respond accordingly. Mm-hmm. So we give them a lot of time outside. I tried to say yes to our boys as much as possible, no matter how crazy the idea sounded. And they, you know, they're the kind of creatures who, when they fail at something, they don't respond the way we would. We would say, don't want to do that again. That hurt. Mm-hmm. But not boys. No, their response typically is challenge accepted. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they are wired that way. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason for that. We have needed that since the beginning of time, through all the different cultures and different, you know, wars and all these different things, men conquering and finding new countries and all of that. most of that was done by men. And it was done by men because they have that drive, that desire, that willingness to take the risk, the physical strength to do that. We need our boys to be able to experience that for themselves, like experience their strength and the limits of their strength. One of our boys refers to his, he kind of describes his childhood as, how does he put it? An aggressive inquiry into the laws of physics. And so, you know, I feel like every time they go outside, there's physics going on. Like they're learning so much. But there's also this other part that man was made to be in creation. And so, I mean, the same is true for women. Women do need to be outside, but I think men especially. So we're called as believers to take dominion, right? That's what we're called to do. God gave the Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden to steward, right? And so we all have our gardens to steward. I feel like typically the garden for women is the garden of the home for the most part. And the garden for men tends to be outside of the home. I mean, obviously they need to tend their wife, children, and all of that, but their focus is really like they get out there, they do their jobs, they maybe even outdoors. You know how a lot of times guys just love fishing and hunting and all of that. It's just in them to do that.
Yes.
So I think when we allow them that natural childhood, simple, natural childhood, I think the world has gotten super complex, but children have not changed and boys have not changed. They still have the same needs. So when we're sending them outdoors, we're giving them a gift. My boys tell me, well, all my kids say this, but especially the boys, because they see other guys their age. Our oldest son is almost 30. And so he's been out in the work career world for a long time. He's a software engineer for Amazon. And so he's seen like, this is what the world looks like. And this is how most guys have been raised. And he's like, and so both he and our other boys have said to me, thank you for giving us that time every afternoon to be outside. It's just a couple hours every afternoon. Pretty much like 90% of the time, they got that time. And also breaks between subjects. That was the other thing we did differently with the boys is, you know, maybe they do some math, then they would go outside and jump on the trampoline for 15 minutes, come back in, do the next thing. I don't know if you know this, but rebounding sets the brain, resets the brain. And so giving them something, especially like if it's winter, you can have a small trampoline, like one of those little rebounders.
Yes.
In the garage or whatever, if it's too cold or whatever to go outside, they can do that. But I typically try to send them outside as much as possible. So yeah, I think that it's just important for us to recognize that they learn differently. Yeah. They've got to be a lot more hands-on, experiential, those kinds of things.
Let me ask you a question, Dorinda, because you said something and I can guarantee you the holy righteous mamas listening were like, no. They were like, I rebuke it. We are not doing it. you said, I tried to say yes to as many things as I could. And all of the holy mamas were like, no. We're not doing it. Go ahead and qualify that for us. Like, describe to us what that looks like, because there are moms who are like, if I say yes to nearly everything that my kid asks, like, you know, what am I doing? But there is a safety and understanding that the things that our kids request, right, within reason, tell us something about their personalities. It tells us something about what they want to explore. So how are you stewarding that yes specifically?
I think, first of all, recognizing the fact that they have ideas is a wonderful thing. And we want to encourage ideas. Like if we're saying no to everything, we're saying they've got nothing to bring to the table of value.
Oh, that's good, Dorinda. That's good.
So when they bring us an idea, we are also responsible to teach them some discretion. You know, I talk about this in the book, like putting boundaries, having boundaries on our kids, specifically our boys, very important because they need to learn to read the room. They need to learn to know when and where something is appropriate. So there's that. I'll give you a couple of examples. My boys, you know, boys love to run, especially right after church when they've been, you know, sitting for so long. But I made a rule that our boys should never run in church in the building because there are older people there.
That's right.
And if those people fall, it could mean they never walk again. And so, you know, and it's about being aware that this is not the setting for this. Mm-hmm. Is it good to run? Yes. Is in church a good place to run? No. But you can go outside, away from everybody, and run all you want. So we're teaching them discernment. But my boys would come to me and say, we want to dig this hole and we want to, you know, whatever. They didn't always tell me all the details, but they would say, you know, like, is it okay if we dig a 10 by 10 hole? You know, and I could say, well, no, somebody might fall in it or mm-hmm. get hurt or, you know, well, that's a dumb idea. Why do you want to do it? I'm not going to say any of that. I'll say, I mean, I could ask them like, what's the purpose? What are you thinking? And, you know, it's good to inquire, but typically, yes, go ahead and dig the hole. And then, oh my goodness, all the creativity that came out of that. They were wars. They were foxholes for playing war and all that kind of stuff. But things like when they want to go sledding down a hill that I know is like treacherous. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I know that they think this is going to be a blast, but is somebody going to get hurt? And I'm having visions of videos I've seen on Instagram or whatever, right. You know, where they hit an unseen tree stump and mm-hmm. die or whatever. Oh. And so, you know, so at that moment I have to choose, am I going to respond out of fear?
Yes.
I do want to respond in wisdom. Absolutely. So I'm praying. I'm like, Lord, give me wisdom. Show me what to do. And I said, okay, here's the deal. The snow has to be deep enough and you need to inspect the course to see if there are any stumps or sticks that are sticking out that you could possibly hit. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that and make sure it's safe, then you can go down that hill. And they did. Yeah. And oh my goodness, they had so much fun. They put a GoPro on their head and then they let me watch it.
Oh, and wow.
Of course, because mom had to watch it. Mom,
yes,
you got
to see this. This yeah.
was great. You know, another instance was when our six-year-old oldest son, so this is, you know, everything's a first with him because we had two girls first and then him. He wants to ride the bike off the porch, the front porch. And he comes in and he asks me, which we want them to ask us.
Yes, you know, that's like, right.
So we don't want to react to it negatively or they're just going to stop asking mm-hmm. and they're just going to do stuff without permission. So he comes in and he asks if he can ride his bike off the porch. So I went out there to make, just kind of see like for myself, physics, what's going on mm-hmm. here? How fast can he get going? And what's going to happen if he crashes and burns? What's the worst case scenario? Well, there was gravel and there was one step on the way down. And I'm like, okay, porch isn't that long. He can't get going that fast. Mm-hmm. And he's going to fly over one step. If he crashes and burns, he's going to be fine. And so I said, okay. And of course he wanted me to watch him.
Yes.
So I
yes.
had to stand and watch. So he did. He zipped off the porch and crashed and burned and didn't cry at all.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what did you learn from that? And he said, no, I don't want to do that again. I said, okay. And I went in the house. I thought it was over, right? No, evidently it switched to challenge accepted. They want to figure out, this is what they're thinking. They've explained this to me. They want to figure out, because it failed, they want to figure out a way to do it successfully.
And that's so good. That's what
that
we
is a
want.
Good thing.
Yeah.
But we don't see that when we see them jumping off the porch onto the gravel, right? Oh, we see yeah. emergency room visit. I don't have time for this today. that kind of
come
thing.
Come on.
So he
convicting.
Did it. He went off the porch and he did it successfully. And he was fine. He figured out a way to do it successfully. But that right there, so important to know that they're not trying, they're not being stupid. They're mm-hmm. actually trying to be smarter. So let's
That's
give them
good.
Some credit for that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you see all these videos flying around on social media about how stupid men are or how dumb boys are. Because look at the dumb things they do. And we women, we would never do that.
Oh.
Like, yeah, right. Well, guess what?
There's a purpose behind their madness and it's
Absolutely.
A God-given purpose. I love that you point that out and bring that full circle. And that's the kind of conviction I'm talking about that's in your book. I mean, it's so loving, but it's so real. And you know, there's something about truth that even if you don't share it, you know, with someone, you feel that, you know, hey, hold on a second. This is true.
Right.
And you're either not doing this or you're doing this well. And you know, you got to own it when you're failing. Because I want to do two things. I want to talk about culture-proofing boys
right.
and how that's different from girls. But I also want to talk about the acronym BURP. And I want to go in order because I think this is so cute what you've done. But there's one one thing, one particular aspect of this that was really convicting to me. I mean, like deeply convicting. And so, because we talked about, we teased talking about airing our dirty laundry, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So you're going to go first as the older, wiser mom.
I am. And I've actually got two stories to tell of airing dirty laundry and culture proofing our boys.
Okay.
So
go ahead.
First of all, there were actually several times when our four boys were teenagers that I was sensing a disturbance in the atmosphere, right? Mm. So whenever that happened, I would Lord, what's going on here? And I realized my boys were running the show. They were telling me what to do. Mm. And they had taken a leadership role, and I didn't even realize this was happening just on a given day, okay, right? Once I recognized what was happening, I went to them and I said, okay, here's what's been going on. I've been actually following your lead instead of you following mine. So that's actually out of order from what God has ordained for this particular time. I want you to know that I appreciate the fact that you want to lead and that you did so naturally that mm-hmm. I didn't even recognize you were doing it. I said, these are good things. These are things I want you to grow, and these are things that I want you to be doing as a man. But right now, because we're talking, 13, 14, yes, 15, 16 in there, this is not that time or that place. Okay.
That's good.
And so I want, someday you're going to have your own wife. You're going to have your family to lead. I am not that wife, and this is not that family.
That's so good.
And so, yeah, I did try to give them opportunities to have some leadership at different times, when I could. But that particular situation was about our daily family life. They're not in charge of that. And so that's not their role. But I acknowledged that it is in them to do this.
So let me just get some clarity here. Explain to us what that looked like. Like, so for us moms who are listening and we go, wait a minute, okay, how do we spot that? Because there's a certain amount of discernment where the Holy Spirit says this is out of order. But then there are also some practical indicators that, like, hold on, there's a usurpation here, and you need to pay attention to that. Can you describe to us what that looked like for you?
Well, when they had sort of led me off of my agenda, and they did it, and it was really kind of in their favor to do it the way that they were suggesting that it needed to be done.
Okay.
And there's a time and a place for that. Mm-hmm. I feel like we do need to be ready for reasonable compromises, but they were just taking it. They weren't talking to me about it. They weren't saying, hey, mom, what do you think about doing it this way instead? It was, we were already doing it.
Mm, okay. I see.
So, whether that was like trying to order a bunch of the younger kids around to a point that it was kind of like, no, that's my job, not yours, kind of thing.
Perfect.
So, mm-hmm. That's kind of the setting that I'm talking about.
Okay, that's great.
And so then the other one is the one that I think you're referring to when we talk about the BURP acronym. So do we want to talk about that now?
Yeah, go right ahead.
So in the book, I use an acronym to help moms remember the principles, because I know when I read a book, I might remember one thing. And so I wanted to give moms something where they could remember easily. Oh, these are the basics, the basics of this book. So the acronym is BURP, because every boy mom can remember that, right?
Yes. Yes.
And so it's B for boundaries, U for use few words, R for respect and responsibility. And I expound on all of those.
Yes, you do. So well.
E is for prayer. So I think what we're probably both thinking about is the use few words.
How did you know?
Because every mom has responded exactly like you did to that story.
Oh my goodness. So Dorinda, girl, look, let me just tell you. Okay. So I'm reading this. I don't know. It makes me feel emotional. I'm going, I talk too much. Like I want to correct and I want to instruct, and I go, but I do not want to nag and just go on and on and go beyond what God is calling me to do. And I said this to my husband, you know, which puts him in an awkward position because he's like, I don't know if I should agree with that or just let the Lord have his way. You know what I mean? Like, oh, are you setting me up? You know, but I said, man, I go, I'm reading this book and I go, I'm on use few words and I use too many words. You know, I'm thinking about, and so again, talking about airing our dirty laundry, you know, I've had conversations with my 14-year-old son where I'm talking to him and I'm just going on and on and on. And I can see that he's starting to gloss over, mm-hmm. but I continue. You know what I right. mean? Like as if right. I'm going to bring greater clarity or I'm going to round the mountain, you know, and I've lost him. You know what I mean? And it's, you know what I mean? And
I know exactly what you mean. That look and you think I'm just not saying it right.
Right.
So I need to say it a different way.
Yes. I'm going to stumble upon the words and then suddenly the light bulb will come on and right. it never does. And, you know, and then bless his heart when he's trying to explain himself. And heaven forbid he doesn't say it the way that I would say it. Okay? Like that he doesn't say it the way I feel like it needs to be said. Again, from my female perspective, from my maternal perspective, that I would impose on him this expectation that is not a God-imposed expectation. That was so convicting to me. And I want you to speak to that and encourage and challenge moms that we need to use wisdom as we correct our sons, as we instruct our sons.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, the story that displays this lesson most clearly and is one of my failures, my dirty laundry.
Oh my goodness.
So the four boys were all teenagers at the time, and I felt like everything I said fell on deaf ears. Mm-hmm. It was like they didn't even hear me. And it was so frustrating. And after a week or two of this, my husband and I went on a date and I told him all about it. I just like unloaded on him through dinner and he just listened. And we got in the car, we were leaving the restaurant and he said to me, I need to tell you something, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. And I, at that point, I'm like, I'm at a loss. Please just tell anything. Just tell me. And he said, you use too many words. And the boys don't respect you when you do that. And I just all of a sudden the light bulb went on. It's like, I knew this about most men. They just don't do well with a lot of words.
Yes.
Like just bullet point them and it's so much better. I knew this about my own husband, but I had failed and I'd forgotten, which we do. And I still sometimes do that with our 19-year-old. I mean, it's just been a recent occurrence. Here I am talking about it all the time, which is good because I have to remind myself with this 19-year-old to do the same thing, right? So I was like, oh man, I knew this. Dang it. So I went home and I grabbed the four boys. And to this day, they remember that moment because they all thought they were in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought him in and I said, listen, this is what your dad said. You know, this is what's been going on. This is what your dad said. And I said, is he right? Do I use too many words? And they said, Mom, yes. They said, we would rather feel physical pain than listen to you talk.
Oh, no.
And I knew in that moment, like it didn't even hurt my feelings because they were being so honest with me. It was not disrespect. It was honesty. And I so appreciated that. So I said to them, okay, I'm willing to work on this. And this is hard for me because I love words, conversation, writing, all of that. So this was like grinding gears.
Yes.
So I told them, I said, I am willing to do this. However, I need you to know that if you don't listen, once I've, you know, done this for you, then there's going to be some harsh, really quick consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, that's fine. We are totally fine. And they were serious. Wow. And you know what? It worked like a charm, but I'm telling you, it was so hard.
Yeah.
I just said, I would literally have to stop. And I'd say, just give me a second. And I would think about what were the most important things I wanted them to know, not more than three things for sure, preferably one or two.
Mm-hmm.
And how could I convey that in 15 seconds or less?
Yes.
Yeah, it was so good for me. And it was actually a good practice because it's helped me actually in my relationship with my husband to think through things a little bit more before I go to him and with, you know, something I need to talk to him about. So that was wonderful. And that was a game changer.
Are you thinking right now about summer camp for your 8th to 12th grade students? Well, we want to invite you to allow your kids to join us and our entire family for a week of summer camp in North Carolina. That's right. This is the third year that we will be at the North Carolina Refuge. Yes. We are super excited about a week of culture proofing. July 21st through the 26th, we are going to discuss biblical worldview. We're going to train your kids in biblical worldview, and we are not holding back. We are going to defend the truth of Scripture. We are going to look to the Word of God for how we engage the culture. Yes. Our aim is to ready kids to be able to live in this world while not having this world live in them. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. We will be there with all of our children and even a few mayflies.
Maybe just a few.
Just a few.
But you know what? Great times of worship, great times of fellowship. It's just going to be a great time. So sign your kid up today.
ncrefuge.org, ncrefuge.org. If you've got questions, you can email us mail@cultureproof.net. That's mail@cultureproof.net.
And so it's interesting because I was telling this story just a couple weeks ago on social media, and this mom replies to me and says, "This is a terrible idea." She said, "You're training your sons that they only have to listen when people talk to them the way they need to be talked to." And I said, "Whoa, hold on here. Let's look at the context of the situation."
Yes.
These are teenage boys. Mm-hmm. They are going through a mess of hormones, and moms of all people, we should be able to empathize with that.
That's
we
right.
have PMS, perimenopause, menopause, brain fog.
Come on.
We have all of that, right? And that's part of what they're experiencing is a lot of brain fog during that time. And so all I did was say to my boys, "I understand where you are and I respect where you are in this process of becoming a boy to a man, right? And so I'm working with you. I'm going to meet you where you're at, and I'm going to make sacrifices and change some things that are really hard for me to change because I love you and I respect you and I understand this is what you need. And I don't want to exasperate you," right? Scripture talks about that. Like parents, kids are supposed to honor and obey their parents, but we're not supposed to exasperate
them. That's right.
My words were exasperating them and they were just shutting down. So when men get exasperated, they shut down.
Yes.
And so it's okay for us to stop and say, "Did I contribute to that? Because I'm really sorry." So, you know, it's a loving thing to do for me to do that. And so we did that. We didn't have to do it forever. We did it for a while and it helped so much. It helped our communication. It helped our relationship. There was more trust there and all of that because of the honor and respect that had been shown both ways. Now, fast forward, and these guys are now adults, right?
Yeah.
Their brains are now like they eventually fully develop and they can handle a lot more words. 3 out of 5 of them are married and every single one of their wives are very, very verbal. and these guys handle it just fine. So if that was a thought that flew through your head that you're doing them a disservice, you're not.
Yeah.
Just meeting them where they're at and honoring and respecting where they are in this process that God has them in becoming boys to men.
Yeah, I think there's a, and of course, I don't know the commenter. And so I'll just say the thought that comes to my mind is that there's a hubris in not being willing to humble ourselves and say our boys are different from us. And we need to honor that. We need to honor the glory of God in them, that God goes public through them in the way he's designed them. And I think there's a bit of maybe undetected pride that we would say, "No, you need to be like me. You need to understand and think like me and communicate like me." And I think inadvertently, that's what we communicate to our boys when we treat them like they're women or we treat them like they're girls.
Right.
Go ahead.
And here's the thing I really want to encourage moms in when it comes to culture-proofing your boys.
Yeah.
What you want to do is be continually speaking out loud the things that you appreciate about them and about their dad. Okay. Mm. So it's both. You need to treat your husband well. You need to respect him.
That's good.
And if you're struggling with that, and I get it, we all at certain points struggle to respect our husbands in certain areas. Don't focus on those areas. focus on the areas you can respect him in, even if it's the tiniest little thing, and you speak it out loud to him in front of your children. You speak it out to your children, specifically to your boys. You point out to your boys when you're out in public and you see someone giving extra good service, someone who's really good at their job, or someone who has done something, opened a door for a woman. Okay. So this is another thing. Like, I've had moms say to me, I'm afraid to teach my son to open the door for someone because I'm afraid that that woman is going to say something mean to him because he opened the door for them. You know what? Who cares?
Come on.
Like, who cares what they say? We're to teach our boys to do what is right because it's right before God.
Amen.
And we're not teaching them to do what's right so they get the right response. They do what's right because it pleases God. It glorifies God. It declares God is the king and not the culture when we move forward in obeying him and in encouraging our sons to be those men.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the culture is, they don't know it, but they are hungry for these men. We need them desperately. And so the other way that we're going to culture-proof our boys is we are going to continually point out the differences, but how much we love and respect those differences.
That's good.
Right? We can point them out and actually be kind of mocking them or making them feel less than. We don't want to do that. We want to say equal, but different. Like, we have complimentary to one another. I'm so glad that you can carry that bag of groceries because I can't, and I'm okay with that, you know? So, and then also the way that we culture proof them, and we do it through the ways I mentioned, is we create an environment in our home that is not hostile towards manhood, towards boyhood and the things that come with that. Yes, we teach them discernment. We teach them to read the room. We teach them the when, the where, the why, the how, all of that. That's what we bring to the table. Like, we bring value to these boys by pointing out the good things, but also teaching them manners, teaching them to be polite. You know, we do that well. And so we can bring up these boys that are just have this wonderful balance, and understand their manhood and when and where to do this, that, and the other thing, you know? So I think that's just super important. And again, one of the another reason that this is really important. Now, we talk about preparing our girls for the right spouse, right? And one of the ways that we do that is we say, we want you to learn how a man should treat you. Okay. Moms, we are teaching our boys how a woman should treat them.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We never talk about that. The culture never talks about that because nobody cares.
Right.
They think that women should be able to run over men.
Come on.
They should be able to, you know, and that, when we as moms respect and honor their boyhood, and then as they move into manhood and we start putting more, letting them make more decisions, being okay with cutting the apron strings and all of that, we respect and honor them as a person, as a man, we're telling them, this is how a woman should treat you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not the alpha mom sometimes, because sometimes we have to, you know, you put that hairy toe over the line, I'm going to stomp on it, because they need that. And they actually love that. And I talk about this in the book when I talk about boundaries, how they want those boundaries. But with boys, you have to be a lot more, often a lot more firm and a lot more like, almost like a sergeant. They actually respect that more. So we do have to do that. That's not being disrespectful. Actually, when we do it, we're respecting their manhood. We're saying, I see you're a man, and so I need to respond to you not like your sisters.
That's good. Yeah.
I'm going to respond to you the way you were made to work, the way you roll. And that means I'm going to be a little tougher with you. I've got our youngest son. I'm finding he's on the spectrum, but I'm finding that I'm having to actually push him in areas I did not have to push our other boys.
Okay.
And it's a new experience for me. My other boys took a lot of initiative and didn't really typically need to be pushed a ton, a little bit, yes, but in certain areas, but not a lot. This one's a whole new ball game. So, so I'm learning a lot, you know, and I do actually talk a little bit about special needs in the book. And mainly the point is that our special needs boys, or wherever they fall, you know, whether it's, you know, very much special needs or just a little bit, or have learning disabilities or whatever, they still need what every boy needs.
Amen.
They need to know that they bring value, that they're not just a detriment to everybody, but they actually bring value, and it can be in the smallest way.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be encouraged toward manhood. It might look different than what it looks like with, you know, maybe your average boy or with your other boys, but the needs are the same.
Yeah.
It's just God has to give us wisdom in how we can encourage it for that particular boy.
That's so good, man. You've touched on so much that I feel like, my goodness, if you just unpacked each of those, then you would not have been merciful in the book. But you have given us so much, I think, to take away as moms who love the Lord and sincerely want to honor Him. I want to give credit to the desire that moms have, the right desire,
yeah,
to raise our sons for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. But we are living in this world that is fallen, and we feel the effects of that every day. You know, I'm, yes, grateful for moms like you, and now grandmoms, right, who have lived for the glory of God and are continuing to do that, and can then turn back and strengthen us and encourage us and teach us what you've learned, and to do that with grace and mercy, but also certainty that God's word can be trusted. There is a distinct difference. There is a discernible, recognizable difference between our boys and our girls. And we as moms can affirm that in our boys. And we have to do that. Before we wrap up our time over coffee, Dorinda, when you look back on raising your five boys, right? And this may be so difficult to ask, but I'm just curious, you know, what would be sort of like one defining moment? You talked about the used few words, and I would see that as one of those defining moments. But did you have another moment that stands out to you that you found pivotal in their development as men, as they kind of, you know, there's almost like this crossing over moment where you recognize something in them that caused you to see them differently? Like, help. Did you have any of those moments that you would share?
Yeah, you know, I think it was when I realized that they still cared what I thought, but not more than they should. So there was a point at which my suggestions, my desires for them were different than they had for themselves. And they went ahead and made the decision that they thought was best for themselves. And just to step back and to honor that and to say, this is their life, you know? And yes, I love the fact, and I always want to be able to speak into their lives. And fortunately, we are able to with all of our kids, which is to me just nothing short of a miracle, because we're such imperfect parents.
Right.
And God is so gracious. He is so loving and so kind. And I don't know. I look at parenting, homeschooling, all of it as though it's more like plodding. It's more like you just get up every day and try to do what is right before the Lord.
Amen.
At the end of the day. And we're not going to do it all perfectly. We're not going to. And that's not an excuse. We don't use that as an excuse, but I feel like it's the loaves and the fishes thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Jesus told the disciples, here's 5,000 people, feed them. Like, he knew they couldn't. He asked them to do the impossible, right? Why would he do that? You know, well, he had plans. He had plans to reveal himself and his love and his power. And I think he has the same thing for us. So we take what we have, we take everything we have, because that's what the disciples did.
Mm-hmm.
He told them, they were like, we can't do this. Like, that's how we feel as parents, right? Sometimes, I can't do this. Or as homeschoolers or as moms to boys, I can't do this. And Jesus said to them, bring me what you have. So he's basically, what is he not saying? Bring me what you have, not what you don't have, right?
Amen.
And
Amen.
So we bring him what we have, everything we have. We bring our all to the table. And we say, I offer this to you, Lord. And we do this every day, right? And he takes it and he multiplies it and he makes it more than enough. And we walk away like I'm walking away from raising, not walking away from, I'm still a mom and all that. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Looking back, I'm saying, I did my best, but oh my gosh, that would have never been enough had it not been for God and his mercy, his grace, and his great love for his children, us, his children. Mm-hmm. He looks at us and he says, I'm in covenant with you and I always keep my promises, right? And so we can trust him that when he says that children are a blessing to a righteous man, that means that man that's walking in righteousness, or woman, when they're walking in righteousness, their children are going to follow him. That's the rule, not the exception in that situation. And so I think that's what we need to go back to. Like, this is about the Lord. This is about what he's doing in our lives and in the lives of our children. And we don't have to do this perfectly. We just need to bring our all to him and trust him with all of our hearts and don't lean on our own understanding.
Amen.
You know, in all of our ways, acknowledge him and he will direct our paths.
Ah, Dorinda, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and thank you for loving the Lord, you know, publicly and loudly and sharing the results of that with us. I got to tell you, I still have a little bit to go. And that is not because you are not merciful, right? It's just because I still have a toddler. So I've got a little bit more to go. But I'm already implementing the points that the Holy Spirit has really driven home in my heart, using few words. And here's something else that I think people might not think about. You write in the book about expecting them to be goofy. And that was a light conviction, meaning it was a heavy conviction, but it was like, oh, okay, yeah, I need to let them be goofy. And I, you know, it's just one of those things where you go, I find myself, stop it. And so even immediately I'm reading your book and I'm seeing the things that you're saying through a different lens. You know, I'm looking at my sons and I'm going, oh yes, I can appreciate this. And I'm not messing them up. You know what I mean? Like,
so good. Yeah. Let them be goofy and be goofy with them.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. They love that. They feel valued when we just jump in on that goofiness with them.
That's so good. Dorinda, thank you so much. Tell our listeners again how they can connect with you, get a copy of the book, Raising Boys to Men, how they can follow your podcast, and also talk about social media. How can our listeners just learn more from you?
Okay, well, I'm at the Dorinda Wilson Podcast. We have over 500 episodes. There's a search bar on the podcast page of my website. There's a list of podcasts, and on the top, there's a search bar, and you can put in keywords, and that way you don't have to scroll through 500 episodes.
Okay.
So that's one way, and you can listen from basically all your favorite platforms or from my website, dorindawilson.com. You can find my books, including Raising Boys to Men, on Amazon. The audiobook of Raising Boys to Men is coming out April 15th. That you have to find at my website, dorindawilson.com, and you can find me on social media at Instagram. So it's at Dorinda Lee Wilson, just all one word.
Okay. Dorinda, thank you so much. I appreciate this time. It's been great. I've enjoyed sipping on my coffee, banging around on this microphone while doing it. But thank you so much for your wisdom. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This was so much fun.
When we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we and our boys remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing, God bless.